What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Thursday, May 7th, 2020. Thank goodness. Sure happy it's Thursday. Almost made a mistake there here. We've got a lot to talk about today. And remember the new rules. All news during the first hour, phone calls during the second hour. So let's get right on into it. Obviously, you know, today is the anniversary of the sinking of the Lusitania, which propelled the United States into what was eventually called World War One, when we realized we had to start numbering those things. And, you know, a lot of evidence that it was deliberately sacrificed, specifically to anger the American people into supporting going to war in Europe. Up until that point, most Americans were isolationists. They said, this is Europe's problem. We don't need to deal with that. And World War One was kind of funny because it began as a war between Serbia and Austria-Hungary, and somehow mutated into a war against those gosh darn Germans. So anyway, more about that later on here. Obviously, the big news right now was breaking just before we went to airtime. The Justice Department is dropping the case against Michael Flynn, and they're abandoning this prosecution that was a focus for Trump and his supporters in attacking the FBI's Russia investigation. So this is a stunning reversal for Special Counsel Robert Mueller. It comes even though prosecutors for the last 3 years had maintained that Flynn had lied to the FBI about his conversations with the Russian ambassador in a January 2017 interview. Flynn himself admitted as such under duress, it now turns out, and became a key cooperator for Mueller as he investigated ties between Russia and the 2016 Trump campaign. Now, in documents being filed today, the Justice Department said it's dropping the case after a considered review of all the facts and circumstances of the case, including newly discovered and disclosed information. The Justice Department said it concluded that Flynn's interview by the FBI was untethered to and unjustified by the FBI's counterintelligence investigation into Mr. Flynn, and the interview on January 24th, 2017 was conducted without any legitimate investigative basis. Now, not too long ago, Michael Flynn filed a motion with the court to withdraw his guilty plea, saying that the government had breached its agreement with him on the plea bargain by asking him to give false testimony. So that whole thing is now unwinding. And everybody's saying, why was this going on in the first place? Why was Obama so afraid of Michael Flynn? And apparently, as a result of Barr's decision to review the case, new documents have been unearthed and unsealed, shedding light on a potential FBI plot against General Flynn. The exposure has triggered new questions about the anti-Trump Spygate effort by FBI and Department of Justice officials, according to Wall Street analyst Charles Ortel, who's done a lot of really good work on all of this. So basically, and this was already being reported a couple of weeks ago, the newly unveiled written notes openly ask whether the Bureau's goal was, quote, to get, end quote, General Flynn to lie so the FBI could prosecute him or get him fired. And the files also indicate that the FBI's Operation Crossfire Razor targeting Flynn had found nothing at all implicating the general in the collusion with Russia, which we now know that didn't exist at all. And the case would have been closed if then FBI Deputy Assistant Director Peter Strzok had not intervened to keep the case open. So this was a political hatchet job right from the very, very beginning. And I'm glad the Department of Justice is dropping the case. Of course, Flynn is still dealing with the legal costs that all of this have cost him. I think if I recall correctly, he had to sell his home. But we need a GoFundMe for General Flynn to cover his legal costs and hopefully get him back into the House. He needs to start suing people for wrongful persecution or something along that line here. Anyway, apparently some of the other stuff that's coming on out from these recently released documents, Rosenstein asked Mueller to investigate the already discredited Steele dossier allegations. This is in a memo from August 2017. And it instructed the special prosecutor to investigate Carter Page. And it came from that dossier, you know, the P dossier that had already been discredited. It's already known to be completely bogus, complete work of fiction. But then Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein instructed Robert Mueller to investigate allegations against the campaign advisor Carter Page that originated with the Steele dossier and had already been discredited by the FBI. They weren't after the truth. They weren't after an investigation. They just wanted weapons that they could use here. Now, Fox News is reporting that Adam Schiff is now in panic mode, because remember, when this was all coming down, Adam Schiff was out there in public saying that they had hard proof, more than just circumstantial, that there was collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia. And apparently the reports being released now say there was no evidence of that at all. No evidence of any kind of collusion between the Trump team and Russia. Schiff knew this the whole time while he was saying he had direct evidence. So apparently, the people interviewed by the House Intelligence Committee during the Russia probe were asked whether they had evidence that Trump himself or the Trump campaign conspired, colluded, or coordinated with Russia during the 2016 campaign. Two sources familiar with the transcripts told Fox News not one of the 53 witnesses could provide evidence of collusion. It just wasn't there. The transcripts show a total lack of evidence. And Schiff is now out there having to deal with the fact that everybody now knows he was lying. He lied, he lied, he lied like a cheap rug. What can I tell you? And it's looking like we might see a lot more legal fireworks going on, because apparently Trump attorney is moving against Stormy Daniels and Michael Cohen. So apparently Charles Harder is basically going after Michael Cohen, who is writing a tell-all book in his latest effort to cash in on his career. And he received a letter from Harder that he will sue Cohen if he violates his non-disclosure agreement. Now, the same grounds that Cohen used against Stormy Daniels. Speaking of Daniels, she also received mail from Harder, who was seeking hundreds of thousands of dollars in attorney's fees used to represent Trump against her. So this is all starting to really unravel. Pay no attention to what's going on with all of these Democratic operatives. Go, we've got the coronavirus over here. Just look at the coronavirus. You don't need to pay attention to all this other stuff over here. Okay, now apparently the Trump administration was working on this detailed document, a guide, if you will, to reopening the country, the fireside cookbook of reopening our economy. But apparently it's been shelved, even though it contains step-by-step advice to local authorities on how and when to reopen restaurants and other public places. Now, the 17-page report by a CDC and prevention Centers for Disease Control and Prevention team titled Guidance for Implementing the Opening Up of American Framework was researched and written to help faith leaders, business owners, educators, state and local officials. It was supposed to be published last Friday, but agency scientists were told the guidance would never see the light of day. Nobody knows why here. Okay, the Michigan House and Senate are suing Governor Whitmer after she extended the state of emergency without their approval. And the lawsuit is going to the Court of Claims with the hope of an expedited ruling. The House and Senate declined to extend the state of emergency last week, but Whitmer later announced it would be extended from April 30th through May 28th, citing a 1945 law allowing her to do so. So that's going to go up to the court here. All righty. Now then, let's talk about Shelley Luther. We mentioned her yesterday, and there's been some new dramatic developments in that. Shelley Luther is the owner of Salon a la Mode in Dallas. She reopened, got her employees back there working, was given a cease and desist order, which she tore up publicly, was hauled into court, and was told she needed to apologize. She said, I'm not going to apologize. I got to feed my kids. And she was sentenced 7 days behind bars and a $7,000 fine, $500 for each day she opened her business doors. Now, here's where it gets really interesting. The lieutenant governor offered to pay the $7,000 fine and submit himself to house arrest in her place so that she could go back to work. The Texas Attorney General has called for Shelley to be released from jail. In fact, there was even a decision handed down by the Texas Supreme Court. So I haven't got a confirmation that she's out of prison right now, but she should be. And this case has just become a cause célèbre. Apparently somebody started a GoFundMe page for her legal fees, and it's already raised $350,000 to cover all of her legal costs. Now, the governor of Texas has rewritten his executive order, basically say that there will be no jail time for people who violate it. All of this, you know, comes to an end tomorrow anyway, when Texas starts to open up again and it would be legal for Shelley to have her business open. But it basically shows how people really have become fed up with all of this nonsense. Now, here's an article that came on out of Yahoo.com, basically saying that America doesn't really have a plan for the worst case scenario on COVID-19. We've been hearing there's a vaccine coming, there's a cure coming, this drug might work, that drug might work, we're flattening the curve and all the rest of it. But what happens if none of that works? Okay. The reality is, I mean, we don't know. We still don't know what's the potential is out there. And it could turn out that none of the vaccines work, none of the therapies work. The combination of testing and contact tracing wouldn't successfully suppress the outbreak, and herd immunity would come, if at all, only after millions of deaths. The fact that an outcome is terrible doesn't make it impossible, and the U.S. doesn't really have a plan for dealing with it if that should happen. Got caught off guard. They're spending all their money and their brain power on the war machine. Let's see that war machine turned against that virus. It's a little tiny thing, kind of hard to shoot, you know. All right, U.S. Defense Secretary Mark Esper told reporters that the novel coronavirus outbreak aboard the Navy destroyer USS Kidd may have begun during a counter-drug mission in the Pacific. And the theory is that they could have picked it up in a counter-drug mission when they pulled over a vessel possibly carrying drugs. They boarded the vessel and may have come in contact with somebody carrying the virus there. The Kidd was deployed with the USS Theodore Roosevelt carrier strike group in January, but was later rerouted to the Eastern Pacific for counter-narcotics missions. Well, if it was near the USS Theodore Roosevelt, they could have picked it up there. Anyway, a White House spokesperson has announced that Donald Trump's personal attendant has tested positive for coronavirus. So one of his valets, who are members of an elite military unit serving the president, tested positive on May 6th. And the president has reportedly been notified of the matter, was upset by the news. I could imagine he would be here. All right, turning to the international news now. We're looking at this situation where the Knesset is looking at a bill to basically annex, aka steal, a large chunk of the West Bank. But it turns out the polls are showing the majority of Israel's Jews oppose this annexation. And apparently only 25% of respondents support the move. Only a third of Likud voters are in favor of the initiative. 40% prefer a permanent two-state solution with the Palestinians. People of Israel are getting tired of all this nonsense, as well they should. Joe Biden is pledging to restore U.S. assistance to the Palestinians if he's elected president. And he's going to restore the aid that was cut by Donald Trump as calls for resuming assistance grow louder in Washington. Asked during a virtual fundraiser yesterday whether he would restore aid programs for Central America and Palestinians that Trump terminated, the presumptive Democratic nominee answered affirmatively. Biden said he would also restaff the State Department after its budget was reduced by the Trump administration in a move that critics say undermines American diplomacy. Meanwhile, over at Facebook, they have deactivated dozens of accounts of Palestinian journalists and activists. And dozens of Palestinians logged into their Facebook accounts on the 4th of May, only to find out their pages were no longer active. In the space of just a single day, more than 50 Palestinian journalists and activists had their profile pages deleted by Facebook, alongside a notification saying their pages had been deactivated for not following our community standards. The message said, "We have already reviewed this decision and it cannot be reversed." Then went on to say, you should read more about Facebook's community standards. Well, their community standards seem to be very pro-Israel. Have you noticed? Speaking of pro-Israel, apparently AIPAC has found a button to push for Ilhan Omar because she signed on to this letter urging an extension of a UN arms embargo against Iran. And that really surprised her supporters and political observers. They're all scratching their heads. The wider sanctions regime against Tehran, by all reports, was crushing the Iranian people long before the COVID virus began spreading through the country. Oil revenues, imports of basic necessities, all have been brought to a grinding halt thanks to the Trump administration's maximum pressure campaign. Now Iranians are struggling for life-saving equipment and medicines in the wake of the pandemic. And everyone's wondering, how did they get to Ilhan? Trump has vetoed the congressional measure curbing military action against Iran. Congress is trying to reacquire the authority given to it by the Constitution to be the sole determinant of when we go to war. And so they passed a resolution trying to basically restore the war-making power to its constitutional place, which is the Congress itself. Donald Trump, unsurprisingly, has vetoed the bill. There was an attempt to override the veto earlier today, which my last understanding is they came up short on the votes for the override. Trump described the bill as insulting. The very insulting resolution introduced by Democrats as part of a strategy to win an election on November 3rd by dividing the Republican Party. The few Republicans who voted for it played right into their hands. Oh, Donald, you're starting to sound paranoid. The U.S. is scrambling to buy new missiles with which to challenge China. So no money for COVID-19, no money for our schools, no money for our homeless people, plenty of money for missiles. And with U.S.-Chinese tensions at their worst level in decades, and look how little time it took to go from being good buddies to sneering at each other. The new military budget details reveal plans for the U.S. to spend substantially on new guided missiles, particularly being sought as a way of catching up to China's capabilities and challenging them further in the Pacific. Remember the other day we were talking about missiles and how the U.S. is behind on that. And it's something that should be looked at but never is how much we spend for how little we get, with examples being like the F-22, the F-35, the Zumwalt, the Gerald Ford, the Independence-class littoral combat ships, the Freedom-class littoral combat ships. We spend vast sums of money, and we're not really getting the, you'll pardon the expression, bang for our buck compared to other countries here. But Pentagon officials have argued there's a missile gap with China, a claim that seemed to be based on the idea of getting more funding for more advanced missiles. This has broadly been successful, even more so now that officials are emphasizing tensions with the Chinese. And although the U.S. spends vastly more than any other nation on its military, the Pentagon has long emphasized minor points of competition to justify massive outlays of additional cash. This has tended to work very well, which is why U.S. military spending continues to grow. Meanwhile, China is readying the unveiling of their new stealth nuclear bomber, which is capable of reaching the west coast of the United States from China. And the bomber is expected to make its first public appearance in November at the Zhuhai Air Show, according to the South China Morning Post. Everybody's arming up. Meanwhile, the U.S. Air Force's B-1B Lancer bombers made a 24-hour flight for live fire drills near the Russian border. Let's just go ahead and fire off some live ammo near their border and make them that much more nervous. So two of the Lancer supersonic bombers flew from South Dakota to the Baltics to participate in NATO drills earlier this week, including live fire drills just miles from the Russian border. It was just the latest globe-trotting flight by the heavily overworked planes in recent weeks. Apparently, it was a 24-hour trip. All right, we've got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back after these few words.
Honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! Huh. For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm? And do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
We will not go down in the night. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
Welcome back to our show here. And Turkish military forces and allied Takfiri militants have cut off the drinking water from a pumping station to thousands of people in Syria's northeastern province of Hasaka amid the novel coronavirus outbreak in the war-torn country. The director general of Hasaka Water Company, Mahmoud Al-Ukla, told Syria's official news agency Sana that Turkish troops and their allies forced the Al-Uk water station to stop work on Thursday, leaving the provincial capital city of Hasaka and the areas in the western environs of the province without water. So things are still going south over there. All right, so let's talk about what's going on down there in Venezuela, because this is just getting murkier and murkier. So apparently this captured U.S. mercenary in this Bay of Pigs version 2.0, it's an utter failure and half baked. I mean, when you look at what they say they were trying to do and what they were trying to do it with, it almost reads like a really bad movie script from a seriously under budget movie. And apparently, this Luke Denman, 34 years old, Captain American, was seen in a video, basically confessing, probably with a gun to his head, that Donald Trump ordered the plot to abduct Maduro. And the plan basically was that this handful of people were going to sneak into the capital city, grab Maduro, put him on an airplane, and send him to the United States of America. I mean, even the scriptwriters on the Mission Impossible franchise aren't going to touch that one. So they have a confession that Maduro was going to be kidnapped and brought to the United States so that Guaido could become the legitimate president of Venezuela. But here's where it gets a little bit interesting. You know, I was predisposed to say, yeah, this was a little private enterprise. The billionaires paid for it. The opposition leaders arranged it. This ex-Green Beret who owns the security company said, yeah, I can do the job for however much money they were going to do it for. And then it just all fell apart. And it just, you know, if I have to agree with Pompeo, if the U.S. was behind it, it would have been handled a little bit more delicately. But it turns out, according to this article that's over in the Daily Mail, the U.S. government knew about the training sites in Venezuela that these people were using. And apparently the DEA informed the Department of Homeland Security that the Venezuela coup plot ringleader was smuggling guns to training camps. So apparently they had an informant that tipped off the agency earlier this year that former Green Beret Jordan Godreau was smuggling weapons into Colombia. And the Anti-Narcotics Agency said a formal probe wasn't opened and it did not know who Godreau was at the time. DEA official speaking to the Associated Press said the information was also passed on to the Department of Homeland Security. So they knew something was up, supposedly, and didn't do anything about it. So we're back in that little gray area. Did they just let it happen or did they make it happen? Meanwhile, Pompeo is saying the U.S. will use every tool to get the ex-soldiers back from Venezuela. Is that the justification for an invasion? So apparently, these two former U.S. Special Forces soldiers, Luke Denman and Arian Berry, were among the mercenaries taken into custody after a botched coup attempt to overthrow Maduro. And Pompeo stopped short of confirming the two Americans were being held, saying it's a consular matter. So they're going the diplomatic route, at least to begin with. But yeah, they want to invade Venezuela. These two guys, maybe that was the setup. Go on in there, get captured. We'll come and rescue you. It's obvious that the hybrid war in Venezuela is moving to a new stage of aggression. And it began, of course, with that raid by speedboats with armed mercenary forces on the central coast of Venezuela. They were trying to land just a few kilometers from the capital city of Caracas. And the response by the Venezuelan armed forces and the almost continuous updates about the action, including photos and videos, were quick. Just a couple of hours later, while the defensive operation was still underway, Venezuela's Minister of the Interior, Nestor Reveral, issued the initial statement, calling it a group of terrorist mercenaries attempted a maritime invasion, entering Venezuela with speedboats via the coast of La Guayra. Now, the suggestion that the raid, which is already a grave act of aggression, had such menacing consequences was not far-fetched, given past attempts to overthrow the Maduro government, including attempted assassinations. Remember the little one with the drone? They tried to get him with the drone that exploded? It's just getting crazy down there. But I got to tell you, if the U.S. government was behind this attempt to kidnap Maduro, boy, did they mess it up. It is another Bay of Pigs. We've got to take another break for commercials. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Is the Second Amendment your line in the sand? Is the United States Constitution important to you? Are you worried about gun confiscation? You need to join us for free at gunconfiscation.com. At gunconfiscation.com, you will meet like-minded patriots, get the latest Second Amendment news, and find anything you need to prepare for gun confiscation. Visit gunconfiscation.com today. That's gunconfiscation.com. Which side are you on?
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With patriotinternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, patriotinternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from patriotinternet.com. Visit patriotinternet.com today.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix a problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome back to our show here. Let's talk about the economic news for a while. There is talk going around, it's a little bit loose, as tensions with China continue to escalate and the blame game goes on regarding COVID-19, there's actually talk that the U.S. may cancel some of its $1.1 trillion debt owed to China. This is being reported in the South China Morning Post. And they're reporting that China may move to reduce its vast holdings of U.S. Treasury securities in the coming months in response to a resurgence in trade tensions. Now, analysts have said the U.S. is highly unlikely to go down the road of simply, you know, writing off that debt and saying we don't owe it. Larry Kudlow himself is refuting the suggestion. But the fact that it's being discussed might actually spook Beijing into basically dumping their U.S. treasuries, which would crush their value. So this is getting serious. Okay. Top trade negotiators from U.S. and China to meet as Trump threatens to scrap the deal. Secretary Mnuchin was clearly dealing with some serious stress last night as President Trump stormed about the possibility of canceling the U.S.-China trade pact, fuming about the uncertainty surrounding whether China plans to honor the agreement. Well, considering the way that Trump pulled out of the Iran nuclear deal, I think China is probably more justified in concerns about whether the United States plans to honor the agreement. But be that as it may, as the bilateral relationship deteriorates to its most caustic point since Nixon met Mao, Bloomberg reports that Chinese and U.S. trade negotiators will speak as soon as next week on progress in implementing a phase one deal after Trump threatened to terminate the agreement if Beijing didn't move to swiftly adhere to its terms. Now, oil is surging. The price is going up. When Trump was on his little press conference there with the governor of Texas, he made mention of the fact that the price of oil is inching up, and that's good for the oil industry, and it's good for jobs, not so good for your gas tank. But apparently, the Saudis have slashed price discounts in a bid to prop up the market, and that has seen the oil prices go up. Meanwhile, the Federal Reserve is propping up companies it had warned banks not to touch because they were leveraged to excessive and worrisome levels. And apparently, for years, the Federal Reserve warned that too many high-risk companies were engaging in fuzzy accounting that bumped up their earnings, making it easier for them to obtain loans. Remember Enron? Well, they were fudging the books there. Anyway, the practice was driving up corporate debt to excessive and worrisome levels. But now, in its latest effort to keep credit flowing, the Fed has done an about-face. It's essentially endorsed the dubious practice with a program that may serve to bail out some of America's most leveraged companies. Fed move rewards the worst abusers, said Mark Carey, a former Fed official, co-president of GARP Risk Institute, the research arm of an association of risk managers. People will see this as a backstop and in the future will be encouraged to take on really high leverage. Yeah, they're reinforcing bad behavior here. U.S. debt sales to hit a record with a deficit heading to $4 trillion. Not a debt, the deficit. First single year, $4 trillion. U.S. Treasury is boosting the amount of debt it plans to issue in the coming quarterly refunding auctions to a record $96 billion to provide government funding as the economy heads into a recession caused by the coronavirus. No, the recession was not caused by the coronavirus. The recession was caused by decades of bad fiscal policy. The coronavirus was a spark, but the fuel was already there on the floor, ready to blow up. Now, as you know, the stimulus payments are going out, and a lot of them have gone to foreign workers, who some of whom are not in this country. And apparently, a lot of these stimulus payments went to people who are dead. And so now the Internal Revenue Service is trying to figure out, how do we get that money back? Well, if you send it out as a paper check and the check doesn't get deposited, you don't have anything to worry about. But apparently, the IRS has announced that individuals who got the $1,200 stimulus payment intended for someone who's deceased or incarcerated should return the money. Not clear how the IRS will enforce this. Basically out there saying, yeah. And the subtext for all of this is that the IRS isn't really keeping as close track on American citizens as we all thought they were. They have dead people. Well, you know, why can't we give the dead people stimulus payments? I mean, they're allowed to vote, right? So they should get the stimulus payment as long as they vote the correct way. U.S. unemployment has hit 33.5 million, marking the worst economic downturn since the Great Depression of the 1930s. And another 3 million Americans have filed for unemployment benefits during the week ending the second, which brings the total claims over the 7 weeks to over 33 million. Some 3.8 million initial jobless claims have been registered in the past week. Florida saw the highest number of initial filings at an estimated 432,000 on an unadjusted basis from 507,000 the week prior. California reported 328,000 claims, down from 528,000 the previous week. Meanwhile, Georgia reported an estimated 265,000 and Texas 254,000. So it is really, really rough out there. We need to get this country back on track here. And there was a debate on Fox News earlier about, you know, do we just do the wait and see approach that Woodrow Wilson did, or is it time to have some Franklin Roosevelt-esque programs to try and get the nation back to work? This would be the time to be working on the infrastructure. As long as you're creating money out of thin air, hire all these people and put them to work fixing the roads, the dams, the bridges. Skills are out there. Anybody who's working in construction, have them construct stuff that this country needs. Now, Minneapolis Fed President Neil Kashkari said that Friday's jobs reports will likely understate the real unemployment picture, as it will only reflect people who are actually looking for work, a nearly impossible task in a time of nationwide lockdowns, and the country should steel itself for a long, gradual recovery. He says the real unemployment rate is as high as 24%. That's one out of every four Americans is out of work. So, new research shows one in five children in the U.S. are facing food insecurity amid the COVID-19 lockdowns. That is absolutely shameful. Absolutely shameful. So this new study has found that children in the United States are suffering the highest rate of food insecurity ever recorded in the country, as tens of millions of Americans are barred from working under coronavirus-induced lockdowns. Okay. Neiman Marcus, there's a name we all know. They're filing for what's called a pre-pack bankruptcy, joining J. Crew. And just 3 days ago, Neiman Marcus, often called Needless Markups, was on the cusp of striking a deal with creditors for financing that would help tide it through the bankruptcy. Well, it looks like the big day has finally arrived. Bloomberg reports that Neiman Marcus Group has officially entered into a restructuring support agreement with a significant majority of its creditors to undergo a financial restructuring and file for voluntary prearranged bankruptcy protection. Another one of our iconic retailers that's in trouble. Peter Schiff is out there saying that, well, the Federal Reserve is never going to pull back from all this excess money printing, because everybody's becoming addicted to all this instant money out of thin air. The Federal Reserve is creating a massive amount of money out of thin air, injecting it into the economy. And pretty much everybody believes this is the only choice given the emergency we face. But we're told once the emergency is over, the Fed will take the excesses away. In his podcast, Peter Schiff explains this will never happen. Once the drug addict is hooked, you can't just take the drug away. Now then, Donald Trump is working on what he calls the Artemis Accords. And this is a treaty which kind of divvies up the moon, if you will. And a lot of people are drawing parallels between that and the scramble for Africa, when Africa was first being opened up for colonialization and all the resources that were down there during the 19th century. So Trump's administration seems to have set its sights on the moon, and mere hours after Reuters revealed the existence of a secret treaty to partition the moon, the U.S. Space Force released its first recruiting ad, telling prospective space cadets that their future on this planet may in fact be off-planet. Well, that'll be interesting to see. All righty. Down along our border with Mexico, they're still trying to get the wall built down there. Donald Trump has now ordered his Mexican wall to be painted black at a cost of up to $3 billion more, claiming it will make it too hot to touch in summer. Donald, have you ever heard of gloves? Thought not. All right, let's get to the case of Ahmaud Arbery. This is an absolute tragedy. Apparently, this former police officer shot and killed this black jogger. He was shot and killed for the crime of being black while running. And his family is calling his death effectively a lynching. They're demanding justice, as well as they should. But apparently, there was a call made to 911. And former Georgia cop Gregory McMichael, 64, was on the line, believed to be the caller, saying, "I'm out here on Satilla Shores. There's a black male running down the street." And then he broke off the call and said, "Gosh darn it, come on, Travis." Now, these are ex-cops. They should know better. Apparently, they just chased this guy down and It was all caught on tape, and they just killed him. And yeah, there does need to be justice in this case. There does need to be a deterrent established. You don't just shoot somebody just for running, because a lot of people run with no ill intent. Jogging, power walking, whatever you want to call it, people working on their health. Now, this next story, this is pretty cool stuff, actually. There's been a breakthrough in Ohio, and this guy, Ian Burkhart, suffered a severe spinal cord injury in 2010 while on vacation from Ohio University. He dove into a wave and struck an unseen sandbar that paralyzed him instantly. Now, since 2014, researchers at the nonprofit Battelle and the Ohio State University Wexner Medical Center have been working on new technologies to help restore the use of Burkhart's right arm. And they've used a computer chip in his brain to restore his sense of touch. And they've succeeded in connecting neural signals between his brain and his arm. The breakthrough system is able to harness signals that are usually too small to perceive, enhances them, and sends them to the patient. It is a breakthrough. I mean, we're talking about being able to bypass injured spines with electronics. That is really, really cool. That's Nobel Prize territory, in my opinion. Okay, Education Secretary Betsy DeVos has issued new Title IX rules to protect free speech and due process for accused students. Now, as you're probably already aware, it's been a little bit, because of the Me Too movement, always believe the women. It's been a very, very rough time for males on college campuses because accusation equals guilt. And it was considered politically incorrect to imply that female students might actually fib or lie about such things, even though it has happened. So on Wednesday, Betsy DeVos formally announced the new rules allowing accused sex offenders to cross-examine their victims in a live court-style campus hearing. Now, I think this is a very good idea, but the Me Too people are out there saying, well, this will basically convince women to just stay silent and not make the accusations because they're not going to want to face the cross-examination. Well, I'm sorry, if you've got the courage of your convictions, if you have in fact been assaulted, then yeah, everybody deserves their day in court. The reality is that yes, there's a lot of lying that goes on in these cases. There was one guy was Gary Dotson, I think his name was sent to jail for like 6 years on the basis of a completely bogus rape accusation. It does happen, and there have to be protections for both sides. Now, this next one is kind of interesting. Gee, I wonder if they need a special effects supervisor. But apparently NASA is confirming that Tom Cruise is going to film a movie actually in space. Probably not the whole thing, but at least part of it is going to be filmed on the International Space Station. Talk about a location shoot. You know, and I thought Apollo 13 using the Vomit Comet was kind of spectacular. But Tom Cruise is actually going to film a movie in space, according to NASA Administrator Jim Bridenstine. And no, the ground crews will not dress up like apes when they come back down. Meanwhile, carbon emissions from the moon are forcing scientists to question the theory that it was formed in a collision between the Earth and the wandering planet Theia. That's been the predominant theory of the creation of our moon for many years now, was that this Theia crashed into Earth, knocked off a big chunk, and that big chunk became the moon. But readings from a Japanese spacecraft found traces of carbon and volatile water in lunar gases, which show the moon is emitting carbon ions from its surface. And the other day we were talking about how it's been determined that the moon, far from being a static dead body, appears to have active tectonic forces at work because some of the ridge lines have very fresh rock that's just been pushed into view. So maybe as part of the Artemis carving up the moon for mining, we'll be able to get back there and do some research, because it's sounding like the moon is a much more fascinating place than we had initially thought. Not that it's not fascinating. I mean, I love looking at the moon through the telescope. But you should have seen it before they walked all over it, really. I mean, it was so much more pristine. And, yeah, it's a lot more interesting stuff up there to keep your eye on. And I'm a big astronomy buff. I'm a big space program buff. And if we can find a way to commercialize space with mining, then the cost of space travel will inevitably come down. So we're going to take another break for commercials. We're going to be back with the last segment of our show. This hour, rather, followed by phone calls from you. So we'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new Ease-Off Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The Ease-Off lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the Ease-Off? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com, EAZEOFF.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. Ease-Off.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. Ease-Off LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And welcome back to our show here. We're coming up on the top of the hour and taking some phone calls here. Yeah, there's the music. And longtime listeners understand that I've often argued against being too species chauvinist in terms of talking about life on other worlds. And we had that story that came through earlier in the week about organisms that can survive in a pure hydrogen atmosphere as being an example, showing that we should broaden, you know, where we're looking for life We should broaden our definition of what constitutes life. And if we really want to find that there's extraterrestrial life, we need to stop looking for life as we know it and just look for life, period, end of story. And I point to the extremophiles on our own planet as an illustration of just how diverse life can be. So interestingly enough, story that came out of the Daily Mail is talking about this snail that has an iron shell, and it lives in underwater volcanoes, and it can endure searingly high temperatures and pressures. Apparently, it draws in minerals from the environment to build its shell with. And so it's this scaly, it's called the scaly foot snail, and it survives in what researchers have called the impossible living conditions of underwater volcanic vents. You think about that one for a while. I'd actually like to see one of those things. Okay, so we're coming up here on the top of the hour. And again, I'm a big supporter of the space program, mostly because of the economic benefits that we can get from it. Because if you look at our technology and our economy following the Apollo missions to the moon, and all the amazing things that have come out of that, like integrated circuits, without which we would not have smartphones and smartwatches and the rest of it. And I'd like to see the space program revived even more than it already has been, possibly not militarized, but again, however it comes about. I've got mixed feelings on the Space Force, because on one hand, it shows that there's going to be some significant funding. And on the other, it's, you know, we're taking our bad habits of making war and we're taking them out into space, which could invite some inappropriate attention. You understand me? So, meanwhile, of course, we have the super flower moon, I think, was last night. We're still near the peak of the Eta Aquariid meteor shower, which is the debris coming off Comet Halley. And so if you have clear skies in the morning, you may want to take a look at that. Because, astronomy is the world's oldest science. And it's a lot of fun, especially when you've got little kids to share well with. Okay, so let's see. What have we got here? Hundreds of angry customers slammed Groupon after being refused cash refunds when their orders didn't arrive during the lockdown. They're offered useless company credit instead. Okay. CBS News admits to airing staged coronavirus clip, pulls down the video. All right, there's the music. We're going to do station identification. When we come on back, we'll be taking phone calls. So call on in, 800-313-9443. We'll be right back.
The conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late-night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the Red Pill.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.